It's one thing to know our inner voice is a guiding light. It's quite another to allow it to be so. These days, intuition is a household word, gradually moving into consciousness from a concept into an experience. Luis Martin Simoes, a teacher and conference leader for over 20 years, is a sharing force for evolutionary change, being here now as a creator as opposed to being a repeater. He'll be visiting Boulder, Colorado from May 3rd through the 5th. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Luis, welcome.
It's a pleasure, Robin. Thank you very much.
We're quickly moving into and out of a time when we are bound by beliefs. Where do you want to start with this?
Well, beliefs. Well, beliefs have always been what makes people think, what makes people feel, and what makes people act. You act because you feel because you think because you believe. So beliefs are the root, the source of everything we do and we feel. The point is, some of our beliefs do not really work for us because they were put there by people. Those people can have been our clan, our family. It can be the place where I live, geographical place. It can be my teachers. Well, everything I've learned. So many of these beliefs were heard from others. And probably a few, much less, come from our experiences. So that's why I say many of our beliefs, since they are just the repetition of what others have told us, maybe don't work for us. And it's good for us to start understanding which beliefs are good for us and which beliefs are not good for us and should be replaced.
So when you're looking at emotions, is it a chicken and egg scenario, which came first, the belief or the emotion, or is it always the emotion is coming out of a belief?
Well, for me, it is not a chicken and egg thing. The belief always comes first. The point is, beliefs and thoughts are very seldom conscious. Many people have them non-consciously, so they start feeling without understanding they had a belief that was first. So they think the emotion was there first, but it is not. And beliefs come from the experience you had associated to pain and to pleasure when you were young. Beliefs always come first.
So when dealing with a lot of this, you teach workshops around the world, and I know you speak at corporate conferences. And
yes.
Mental processes are one thing, and many workshops tend to form a kind of infinity rolling back and forth between the mental and emotional focus. And I'm wondering, how do you avoid that? Because your work seems to take a sidestep.
Yes, I do really take a sidestep. Well, for corporations, I'm not always able to do that because corporations want to stay in the mental-emotional plan. But I step aside from it in workshops like the one I'm going to be doing over there in American in Colorado, because I step aside, I enter into the spiritual part of it, which has nothing to do with the mental. Spirituality is something that sprouts from within us. It's something that we start listening from our body coming out. And mental is something that goes outside, inside. It means one is inside out, the spiritual thing, and the other one is outside in. And companies, of course, prefer the outside in because the managers and the directors and the CEO like to have their perceptions put into people's minds. I work in a different way. I expect people to understand what's wrong and what's right for them, listening from within and not from outside. So I step aside, going back to, if you look at spirit, spirit has the same root as inspiration. It means inhaling, breathing in. That means spirit means the inner being. And to achieve the connection with that inner being, you have to get rid of all your beliefs, because beliefs all come from outside. And we need to start understanding our feelings, which are different from emotions that come from inside. And that's where the confusion lies very often, is that people think emotions are feelings, but they're not the same. You said about the egg and chicken thing, that the emotion could come first. The emotion never comes before the belief. It's the feeling that may come before the belief. And what I do is help people getting connected to their feelings again, forgetting about the beliefs, which is, by the way, very, very difficult, because whenever you're talking to me, Robin, you're assaulted by your beliefs. When I'm telling you this, or I'm telling people this in workshops, they're assaulted by beliefs, and they say, oh, that doesn't make sense in my belief system. Yeah, I know, but in your feeling system, probably it will.
What I would really like to dive into a little bit is, you talk about illness and how each organ and each problem has its own belief system. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a belief system?
That's a good question. Well, when you see from the outside, it always seems to be a belief system, yes. So people say, that's your belief system. And to them, I can't say no. Until they join the course, where they realize, first of all, that, again, this is one of the things I like to talk about. We have flows and forms. Forms are everything that is linked to the mental, to the belief system. Flows is everything that is linked to feelings, and intuition is one of them. And what I start doing when we start the workshop is getting rid of all the forms. And getting people, well, similarly naked. And they start understanding that the only reason for them to connect to intuition would be getting rid of all the beliefs. And they start understanding it's not a belief. Because a belief stands for time. It is formatted. An intuition arises from inside just for a second and goes away. And when they start understanding that intuition are just moments, ephemeris moments that get away from your life as quick as they came in, they start understanding that what I say is not really a belief system, because I do not impose anything and do not formate anything. What I read, what I write in my book, which, by the way, is in my website, as you said, called Does Your Body Lie, is something different. Because when you don't listen to the intuition, then your body starts bringing up emotions. Emotions means X motion, means moving out. The point is, if you don't move out your emotions, then your body starts screaming from inside, saying something is wrong. It creates its physical symptoms. So when you think this is a belief, then you do not listen to intuition. You carry on thinking it's a belief. You don't listen to your emotion either. Then your body starts ringing bells. The point is, I cannot make people understand it is not a belief system until they go into the course.
That's very true. And obviously, as you said, the intuition is that flow, and as a physical human being, we all tend to want to have something to grab onto. We want that,
oh, yes,
that physical something, whatever it is. And so we've made these things. We've made these laws, so to speak, of creation. But I question all of that. You know, all of that is something that came out of our grasping, our desire to have something concrete that we can hold on to. And so in working with people to try to get them to shift out of it, it seems to me you can't really even build a bridge to get there. It's just like jumping onto another highway.
Well, it is true what you're saying, and seen from outside, That's why it's so difficult to sell. These workshops are very difficult to sell to people who don't believe in this because they think it's a belief. When they start coming in, just at the very moments, I started the workshop on Friday evening. On Friday evening, I started talking to them about so simple things they've lived for all their lives, especially when they were babies, that they start encountering a problem with themselves, saying, well, this does not make sense. It's not my beliefs, but it is. But it makes sense. So it doesn't make sense according to my beliefs, but it truly does make sense because he's just talking about a simple verification of facts. And that's all about it. What I started doing from Friday on until Sunday night, it's just a simple verification of facts. And sometimes they don't want to acknowledge those facts that really are very clear. But at a certain point in time, they get rid of their beliefs and they start just simply verifying facts. Because the way you have to get rid of your beliefs is starting to verify and acknowledge those facts that can't be denied. And that's why it's fun. I always have fun in these courses because I see people struggling, not against me, but against themselves. You said previously something very nice. In some books you have that God created the man to his image. And I think we have created God to our image.
Of course, yes.
Of course. And the point when you need to put it, and again, when do I know that I'm working with beliefs? I'm working with labels. I'm labeling everything. I have to put names to everything so that I feel secure and safe. And this is something I know now. Now let's put it a name. But when you talk about a flow, it's just a feeling that you've just felt in a workshop. You say, what kind of name am I going to put to this? I say, don't put any name. Don't put any name. If you put a name, you're back immediately to the mind control that lives out of past, present, and future. Here, there was no time. You just felt the thing. Don't put it any name. Lewis, but I need to put a name. Stop. Don't put any name. You will be jumping again into beliefs. And this, and it's fun because people really, and all day long, they start getting back. They say, let me try to understand what this is in my life. Let me try to find the label. I said, get rid of labels. So we have a little fight, which is amusing, and people start understanding that nothing about what they've been experiencing in that course was
right.
In their past.
Yes, very soon they're on quicksand, and they're sinking.
Oh, yes.
We all do that.
Yes.
You know, it's very interesting, for instance, with cause and effect. Because if you continue with that, how can we possibly name a cause? If we're naming a cause, we're naming it out of a place where we have stopped that flow.
Yeah.
You know, so there. Yeah. So you can't, you know, I've been working with people who have illnesses for quite some time now, and one person can say and feel and deeply know, quotes, that, you know, they got this disease because of one thing or another. You know, the person that smokes their whole life and ends up with lung cancer, and then there are people that smoke their entire lives and never get lung cancer.
Yep. Yep.
So how do you work, and maybe how do you even see cause and effect? Because I feel like if you keep following it back, there are too many effects going on to actually, and there are too many causes going on to actually name one. So, you know,
yes.
In a way, it doesn't matter. It's just a matter of let go of that. Stop putting the period in or something.
Yes. We're talking about two distinct things, two different things. To get rid of the mind and to understand the intuition, indeed, we have to forget about causes. I just have to acknowledge the fact and the feeling and forget about causes. When they start saying, but why does this happen? Don't worry about why it happens. Just feel it and enjoy it. Take advantage on it. Just be a different person, acknowledging different things. That's when I get connecting, start connecting them to the intuition. Now, when we come to symptoms, physical symptoms are already a result of what? Of intuition that hasn't been felt, of emotions that haven't been heard or expelled. So symptoms, physical symptoms, are the result of very strong mind paradigms. There, since we are in a very strong formatted thing, since you forgot about the flows, you didn't care about the flow called intuition, you didn't care about the flow called emotion, now you're stuck with something that created you a physical symptom, which is a big, big form, a big shape. There, I have to go to cause and effect. So it's not because I tell the person what has happened in her life that caused her spleen disease or her spleen cancer, that doesn't get her, that's not doing that, that I get her closer to intuition. It's two different things. I, during the course, bring them back to intuition, forgetting about the cause, but when I'm dealing with somebody who has cancer, I really can't avoid but telling her the cause of her symptom. But I also tell her that to get rid of that symptom, which she has to understand the causes, she won't get out of it. Remaining in the causes, she has to get connected to intuition. You see what I mean? I'm not sure I've been very, very clear. It's two different things. Connecting them to intuition is one, and that's the solution. Understanding the problem of the physical symptom is another one, and that's understanding the cause. That's why I've written that, and I've put it free in the internet, because I think it helps people understanding why they have it, but it doesn't bring them the solution, because the solution is the workshops. It's the link, the connection to intuition again.
Yes. You speak about the soft will.
Yes. Oh, yes. You'd like to know what the soft will is?
Sure.
Yes. I work with them. I'm sure you're familiar with this vocabulary about yang and yin. Yang being something that is a behavior. It's always behaviors. The behavior, the masculine behavior, has been associated with the big will, strong will, being a warrior, being somebody who wants absolutely that against all odds. They really want that, and they do it, and they're very strongly doing it. That's a yang kind of behavior. Then you have the yin behavior, which is called, in our society, the feminine behavior, which is more passive, which is more sensitive, more patient, and allows things to happen. When I talk about soft will, is a mix between the two, but more to the yin side. I tell people now, focus on your hands, but don't look for anything. Let it show. This is soft will. If I say, try to feel something in your hands, when I work with light, for instance, with them, which is something very subtle, it's a flow, I tell them, I can't see anything, I can't feel anything, Luis. Of course you can't, because you were using your strong will. You were so desperately needing to see something and to feel something that you were using the strong will. You will never get there. Use your soft will. What is soft will? Focus there and wait that it appears. Wait until it appears. That's the soft will. When you meditate, it's the same. If you're looking to get relaxed, you'll never get relaxed. You have to get rid of your strong will and go back to your soft will. It means I need to relax. Now let's see what happens.
It's very subtle where the agenda shows up all of the time, isn't it?
Yes, it always very subtle. That's why it's so fun for me.
Sure.
Not always for people that come very, very young, but for me it's very fun because it's so subtle. The people at the beginning, they just don't like it. And first of all, little by little, they start understanding, wow, this makes sense. When I use my soft will, things do really appear in my life. So start doing that. Yeah, it's amazing. It's something totally different. My purpose in my life is not to explain people why they had problems in their body. That's why I've sent that free to the internet. And I have a book which is written in Portuguese, which I sell a lot over here. And I decided to put it in English because almost everybody understands English around the world, and I've put it in this website. Because I don't live out of that. That doesn't help people that much. That shows people it is something that they can solve themselves. It just shows you have been the creator of your symptom. So it's out of you that the will come, that soft will, to solve your problem. It's nothing very special. You can do it. If you understand, it's your problem. That's the purpose of that Does Your Body Lie part of my website. Then the workshops come in. Then it's not, again, it's not just telling them, no, you've created it. No, it's helping you to get out of there. Not everybody gets out of there, and not everybody solves the problems, because it still depends on them, and some of them are more interested in being right or wrong, that means doing things according to their belief system, instead of getting, well, a good health, getting healthy. But many people in the world, people I encounter everywhere in the world, for them, many people, it's the mental ones, it's more important to be right or wrong, and for them, more important to be right than to be healthy. So it's crazy, but it's the way.
How do you shift this around or mold it around the corporate? Obviously, if you're in a business and you're selling something, you absolutely have an agenda. How do you work with this power versus force type issue? We are in this new paradigm. We're really deep into it.
Well, Robin, I must tell you that about a little bit of my frustration. Corporations around the world, they love what I do. But I must tell you, I don't go deep enough in what I would like to do with them. And I nourish a certain frustration there. Because when I just try to step into something which is more subtle and much better to solve their problem, they always say, no, no, we don't want to hear about that. Stay with us in a mental level. So what I do when I work with them, and it still brings results, but it doesn't change the world, and I would like to change something in the world, not me, but help people understanding there's a different way of being in corporations, in societies, in companies, and things like that. So what I do, I talk to them about subtle energy without ever talking about it. Just they feel something different in my courses, but they don't understand what it is, and I can't make it concrete because they just don't want to hear it. I've done it twice in my life, and I lost the customers, and they were big customers. The people I train normally in companies are CEOs, senior vice presidents, executive vice presidents at a very, very high level, and they think, sometimes they listen to me and they say, that's good, but don't go and tell that to our people. That could be an invention that could kill our company. And another thing, which I don't know whether this, what I'm going to say, is going to be very popular over there, but I struggle a little bit with the neuro-linguistic programming that is today up to date, very much up to date in companies. Corporations work with NLP. You know, of course, what NLP is.
Yes, it's a subtle form of using a force instead
yes.
of...
Yeah. But the problem with NLP is that it's always very mental. And I've been to courses of American guys, American people who do... I've been traveling the world doing training, and I've been in England, to England, to America, to France, and to other countries, to NLP programs. And for me, they stay always very short because they're very mental, and they want people to change with the strong will. It's not spiritual enough for me. So, and it's always orientated to matter, to substance, not
yes.
much to the person, to the individual.
Yes.
And I think it does work. It's like The Secret from Rhonda Byrne and all those people that I've known. I think it works, but that's not what I want people to start doing, because it works them getting better houses, better cars, more money, better companies, but it doesn't help them getting happier, healthier, and deeply in contact with their intuition.
Yes, I would agree wholeheartedly there. Luis, what is the key thing that you would like to share in knowledge about the brain? So many things don't happen in the brain. And
yes.
So maybe it just all goes back to the intuition again. But what would you like to say about that?
Well, about the brain, I'd like to say some simple things. The brain is absolutely not the cause of everything that happens to us. The brain is just a mean. And I ask people, where is your power of attention? Now you paid attention to something. Where is your power of attention? Everybody says it's a brain, in the brain. And I say, it's not in the brain. because sometimes the brain uses this hemisphere or that hemisphere or that part, the marrow or whatever. What makes the brain use this or that? And they start looking at me. Say, so who's if the plane the brain is being commanded? Who is commanding the brain? And I said yes, because if you have access to your left brain hemisphere, you will see some things and you'll experience some things with your strong will. If you have access to your right hemisphere, just for instance, for an example, then you have access to, for instance, the reality of the autistic people who see the world in a different world, in a different way, or to have the access to people like Einstein or others that understood how the universe would be working just to the access to their brain hemisphere. And they say, but what makes me focus on one or the other? It's your focus. But where is my focus? Yes, again, yes, Robin, we go back to intuition. The more you open to your intuition, the more your right brain starts working, the more you start experiencing things that you thought were never possible before. And I do, for instance, a meditation where, not in this course, in another course, which is more advanced, I do a meditation where you balance your two brains. You balance the left brain with the right brain and the right brain with the left brain. The people come out of that meditation and say, hey, wow, there's something in my perception that has changed. Yes, I know.
that's why we did it.
Yes, it's amazing.
Let me see. We've just got another couple of minutes left, and I'd like to ask you, Luis, it's wonderful in this quote-unquote new age that focuses are changing and we are able to learn about becoming more whole. And yet there's a lot of guilt that has come along with this new age, and I'm wondering, what do you want to say about that, and how do you move through that when you're working with people?
I always tell a story about the Dalai Lama. The first time he came to Portugal, he was translated to English. And there's a certain guy in the audience that asked him something about guilt. And then somebody translated the word to guilt. And Dalai Lama, he masters perfectly English. And he said, I don't understand the word. Then he went to his disciples and said, do you understand the word? And they were all smiling and saying, we don't understand the word. And then he asked the translator to ask the person to define guilt. We don't know what guilt is. It's not in our Tibetan dictionary. So about guilt, and everybody started laughing, and him too. About guilt. Guilt doesn't exist. Guilt is a trick of the mind. I don't care too much about guilt. I just say to people when they find them very guilty, I feel compassionate about that. I'm going to help them, but they have to let me take care of their guilt, because guilt does not really exist. Guilt is worse than fear. It's amazing, because I think it's a gun. Try to get connected to intuition. Forget about guilt.
Luis, we will look forward to seeing you in Boulder May 3rd, 4th, and 5th of this year.
Thank you very much for this opportunity, Robin.
To take advantage of this rare opportunity to join Luis Martin Simoes in the United States in Boulder, Colorado, May 3rd through the 5th, call 303-443-7386. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, or sign up for notices of weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. For podcasting on iTunes, it's Tributaries Radio. This is Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.